Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown.
Welcome!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 179 of Valuetown. I'm J-Man V, and he's Gara. And we're in the middle of the Boomsday Project, or at least in the very, very beginnings of the Boomsday Project. But Gara, how you doing, man?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. New expansion hype.
Yeah, you're so crystal clear today, too. This is good. This is the beauty of doing just two people, is that the connections are much better. Quality of, you know, video and stuff is, like, much better.
It might also have something to do with the brand new webcam that I'm using.
That's true, too. That's right. Yeah, higher resolution makes an incredible difference.
It's like 1080p, baby.
Yeah. New expansion comes new great things to Valuetown, right? But yeah, guys, so we just started, like, literally day one just finished, or, you know, with the expansion. So we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of things where just what we've been experimenting with, what we're getting a chance to play with. We've got the first power rankings and popularity and top decks from HS Replay that we're going to be talking about. And then just general assessments, what's been surprising, not surprising, or maybe, you know, disappointing, all that good stuff. And then we'll try to get some Q&A probably from Twitch chat today or Twitter, either one. I'll probably prioritize Twitter if you guys want to tweet it to ValuetownGG, and we'll read them out. But Gara, first 24 hours, like how much have you been playing? Because it's always a weird time for EU, right? It's, like, you don't have like half the day. You probably only have like a quarter of the day. So how much have you played so far?
So my streaming time is from, or my schedule is from 1 p.m. CT till 9 p.m. CT, and the expansion came out at 7 p.m. CT. Oh. So I still stream my regular time, so I only played 2 hours yesterday into the new expansion, and then I went to the gym and played a little bit there, a little bit theory crafting. But today when I woke up, it was like the new expansion all day. And what is cool is that HS Replay has caught up to the one day meta, I would say.
Yep, that's right.
I think for the first week there is like a daily meta, and the next week we will probably have like a 3 day meta, like slowly beginning like to have an established meta. And HS Replay told me to play Big Spell Mage, and I'm like, oh, I'm pretty good with
Big Spell Mage. Really? I didn't even know that.
And then I climbed to legend with 92% win rate with Big Spell Mage.
Oh my God. I was busy doing other stuff clearly, but I didn't even realize Big Spell Mage was that high in legend. Holy crap. That's awesome.
And I'm like, man, everyone's playing these Mecha Toon decks and crazy. And then HS Replay tells me to play Big Spell Mage. I'm like, what? And then I just tried that. I trusted it and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, one thing you'll notice is the C'Thun decks and the Priest combo deck, none of those are up here. You know, so
they all lose to aggro, and this is why everyone plays Zoo.
Yep.
Rogue, all these fancy aggro decks, and Big Spell Mage is pretty good against those.
It's Shudderwalk all over again. Happens every single expansion. Those are the type of decks people want to see, especially on the first day. So all the streamers indulge and they play the crazy decks. That at one point I think I saw 4 of the streamers playing the Priest deck. It was like Dog, Toast, I think Crip was playing it too, and I forget, it's Firebat or somebody. They were all playing at the same time. I'm just like, oh my God, this deck is so it's so like complicated, or it's so many cards and clicks to have to do to actually execute it, where you're like, oh, I'm getting all these Divine Spirits and all these Vivid Nightmares just to put it on a boar eventually. After I do it, like, you know, after I click about 10 times, then I start clicking on the boar. So it's pretty funny how that one at least turned out. So yeah, anyways, let's just start with like what we've been playing. You know, like, you know, it sounds like you've been probably playing all day so far today. So you've been playing Big Spell Mage. Why don't we bring that up? I think I have that here, right? This is the same one that you sent me earlier. I think it's this one, yeah. Actually, I have your Big Spell Mage, and I have your Odd Warrior, which is pretty cool, too.
I almost got to Legend on the second server of Old Warrior as well today.
Oh man, nice.
Like rank 2, 5 stars. It's a little bit worse than Big Smash Mage, but it is so much fun because it plays more new cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dr. Boom, of course, the new.
Yeah, so let's go through the mage first. So it's it's Artificer Kalaseth. Wow, Kalaseth is interesting.
It started off as a fun deck because I wanted to play new cards. So I played the Luna Pocket.
Yeah. Yep, Luna Pocket Galaxy.
It's a very high rolly card. As I like as I already mentioned on the show when we talked about the new cards, is if you draw it to the perfect time, like you play it in curve basically, then pretty much any minion you play afterwards, doesn't matter if you like reduce the Serenite Chain Gang. Obviously, it's better to reduce the big guys. But because you tempo them out, and tempo is so good in Hearthstone. You go Flame Strike and you play the new 5-mana Neutron. It's so powerful. But yeah, the best game was when I just played the Luna Pocket and then I top decked Alana, and then you play a 1-mana Alana. This is just the absolute dream.
Yeah, so yeah, let me kind of read it out so like actually the folks watching and listening kind of understand where you're going with the Pocket Galaxy. It's pretty greedy. This deck's kind of greedy at the same time, and that's kind of why I think eventually why the discount like matters a lot. But we've got the Kalaseth, the Acolyte of Pain. We got an Ooze just in case weapons go crazy on us. Stonehill Defender. Okay, this is where we start getting a little greedy. Got some removal with Voodoo Doll and Polymorph and Dragon's Fury. Got the Chain Gang and Witchwood Piper. Interesting. The Giggling Inventor, which seems to be in every single deck right now. I feel like that card is kind of like MVP right now in the first day. Blizzard, of course. Meteor, Geist to stop all those crazy combo decks. Astromancer, which is another new card. Flame Strike, of course, and then the Lich King, Alana, and then Frost Lich Jaina, of course, at the end. So yeah, like talk about this a little bit, because one of the things that when I was looking at Luna Pocket Galaxy really briefly when I did, I was just thinking, man, it's hard to have enough minions in any kind of mage deck, without including all those removal spells and, whatever burn you want to put in. So I just kind of passed over it. And I was just like, I'm probably going to come back to this like a lot later. But it looks like you found something on day one, or at least there's like enough value in terms of, trying to get like basically, the whole 1-mana cost thing. So yeah, I mean, what are some really big hits that you tend to have when you're replaying it?
So it already became a little bit more popular at the end before the new expansion, the Kalaseth version of Big Spell Mage. And I really disliked it because you cut Doomsayer and you cut the other 2-drops. And you usually want to play 6 2-drops. But reducing a 2-drop to 1-mana is not so powerful with the Luna Galaxy. So it really works perfectly with Kalaseth, because with Kalaseth, you play more expensive minions, and reducing those obviously is more value. And right now, Doomsayer is not so good anyways because of all the Void Reapers and all the silences people play. So it just works perfectly. And the curve is much more powerful now. Like, you're setting up your board clears through minions. Like, you have the Kalaseth, obviously, in the most optimal case. But if you don't have him, you play Stonehill Defender, which is a pretty decent 3-mana taunt. Then you go Serenite Chain Gang, which is a pretty good 4-mana taunt. And then you have now the Giggling Inventor, which is a very, very annoying 5-mana taunt to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's super so good. And it's so good to set up your board clears, your Blizzards, your Dragon's Furies. And so you really don't even necessarily need the Doomsayer. So it started off as a joke, but then I optimized the deck and it's working quite nicely. The Astromancer, I just played it because it's a new card and I wanted to test it.
Yeah, what do you think of Astromancer? Because I haven't gotten a chance to play it at all.
I mean, I didn't unfortunately draw him too often, but it's because it can give you any outcome. It's very interesting. I got actually the Warlock class legendary that gives all your minions in your hand Echo, and the opponent. He was playing Zoon. He had to kill it because I would have just echoed Stonehill Defenders and stuff.
That's so crazy.
It spawns crazy board states and scenarios.
It's fun though.
Yeah, it's definitely fun because it's pretty good. It feels like a Spiteful Summoner, a more controllable Spiteful Summoner. It's a fun card, but it's probably worse than a Baron Geddon. I can imagine like if you play Luna's Pocket and then you have a 1-mana Baron Geddon after Jaina or even the same turn. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that would be a huge swing turn, right? So
yeah,
that would be super good.
But that was pretty good. Anti-aggro deck.
Yeah. So you have the odd warrior over here too, which mm-hmm. is we've got the, I'm trying to look at, oh, this is the Eternium, right? The Eternium Rover, which is like a card I've been playing a lot with too, which is really cool. And then we've got the Omega Assembly, which draws those cards for you at the end of the game. A bunch of the typical kind of removal with Shield Slams and Whirlwinds and Shield Blocks and Brawls and we've got Ooze and Silence again. You got a lot of like things trying to cover all these little nooks and crannies. A Reckless Flurry, which is pretty interesting. But then you've got the Gore Howl at the end, which I think is, I don't know, are you using that with Reckless Flurry? Or Reckless Flurry is actually with the armor, right? Like where you actually clear out the armor.
I mean, you
get to think Yeah, so Gore Howl is obviously just another kind of weapon that you can use a bunch of times. But in the end, it's kind of like where all the fun cards come out, which I particularly enjoy, which is Dr. Boom, of course. You've got King Mosh, Baku, and then you've got the new card, Beryllium Nullifier. But no Boom Ship. Is Boom Ship 9?
9 mana.
Yeah, 9 mana. No Boom Ship, though, huh? Like, that's a...
I mean, you have... Battlecries and stuff, you don't want to play Boomship. You want to play this in Recruit Warrior. Let's hope I play some more Recruit Warrior tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to test
it. Yeah, I'll talk about mine in a second, which is really, really fun. Yeah, so tell me about this. Like, where are the real sweet spots for odd all here? Right. Yeah.
I want to go back to edgesreaper.net because
I
played on Aether to Legend with Big Spear Mage because edgesreaper told me to play Big Spear Mage. It worked out perfectly. And then I switched to NA. And HS Replay told me to play Odd Warrior. So I played Odd Warrior and it's working really well there. It's a little bit worse versus aggro. So I played a lot of Baku Warrior before the expansion and you were playing the Rush package, how mm-hmm. we like to call it. And you basically replaced the Rush package with the Max. And mm-hmm. I really liked it. The Ethereum Rover so is good. Such a powerful card.
Yeah,
and that's why I ended up playing the Beryllium Nullifier as well, because there's a lot of matchups where Odd Warrior unfortunately just auto loses, like, you know, Skulking Geist, Control Mage, you can't really beat Jaina, mm-hmm. and, you know, like Dead Man's Hand Warrior is also super, super bad, or like Shadowwalk Shaman. But what I noticed is that whenever I got Beryllium Nullifier, usually I get it from the Omega Assembly, or from the Dr.
Oh, really? Okay.
These decks can't deal with it.
Yeah.
And then if it just sticks around, like a warrior can't kill it, they just have to YOLO Brawl. And then you keep discarding Max and magnetize the Beryllium Nullifier. It gets bigger and bigger. And it doesn't matter if he has infinite resources. You can just win through that. And this is why I ended up like adding one at least to my deck. It's really hard to make room for another one. Just because, again, with the Ethereum Rover, it's so good in combination. And after Dr. Mm-hmm. Boom, everything has Rush. And I was super, super surprised by Omega Assembly. First, I was like, ah, oh, that's a decent card, but
it's not super better than
Elise. But it's so good, especially after Dr. Boom, because everything will have Rush. And a lot of these mechs have Taunt and Magnetic and Lifesteal.
Yeah. A lot of times it turns into one or two minions, you know, like those three cards just turn into one or two minions. You can immediately attack or rush with it, right? So Omega is amazing. Like, I think the first time I played it, I was like, you know, I got it like so early, it's like maybe I'm supposed to use it early, you know. And after that, never again have I used Omega outside of turn 10, and it's been like crazy good.
I think another card that is very underrated right now, I mean, it's still very, very early in the expansion, but people don't play this card, or I have not seen people play it, is the Dynomatic. I'm playing it, and damn, it feels so great. Oftentimes, you just don't have like the removal for an additional fledgling or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just so powerful. It feels like the old Bomb Blubber, but more controllable. Yes, it doesn't work on Max, but it's when it's good, it's so good.
So Dynamax is the one that does 5 damage, right? To non-Max, basically, right?
Yeah.
But it's only minions. It's not to the hero. So
yeah.
Right.
So, that's why it's so good.
Yeah. So it clears the board if you're playing a non-mech deck. And I was playing around with a little. Oh, I've gotten it a few times from Omega Assembly, and I think the times I've played it, it's worked out. But I held off adding it to the deck just because you know, what happens when you do play mech? You know, I think mechs will get a little bit more and more popular. You know, we kind of see it obviously in Warrior right now, maybe a tiny bit in Hunter and probably a lot in Paladin right now too. But, you know, eventually I feel like that card is just, you know, not going to have very much value because it's not going to be able to kill anything. So, I've held off on adding it to my deck, or at least my Warrior deck. But maybe right now, you know, maybe right now it's like super good, underrated.
Yeah, it's definitely like a meta choice. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I don't feel like too many people are playing mechs. I also heard a lot of people about testing mech paladin, but I personally have not faced a single mech paladin and I'm playing
mech
all
dude,
day.
Same with me. You know, like odd paladin is like still super strong, like in terms of the stats, or at least maybe not in legend. But actually, in Legends, still like 51-52%. But the odd paladin, they've added mechs to that, which is pretty interesting. I mean, from what I can tell from looking at it, you know, just really briefly, is that they've just added meteor minions, you know, just to stick on board. You still got those, you know, the silver hand type of combo plays. But generally speaking, they're just trying to stick things on the board, the Fungalmancer and, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, the Odd Paladin's still strong, but I have not played a single Odd Paladin yet, even though the stats show that it's pretty popular.
I faced Odd Paladin, but there's apparently, like, people playing a complete new mech Paladin deck with the 7-mana legendary.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
But I've not faced that ever, like, not even close. I faced Control Paladin. And it was surprisingly good. I played Control Warlock with like Nonferatu, and there's like no way I should lose, right? And it was so close. He almost fatigued me. I couldn't believe it. Like
really?
Control
Paladin. Yes. Wow. Okay. That's pretty interesting.
It's yeah, crazy. People play all sorts of different things right now.
Yeah, this is the best time. I mean, this is the most fun, like when people are just experimenting with things. So let me bring up my decks that I've been playing which are, where are they? I think maybe haven't brought them up yet. Let me bring them up. So I've been playing a, you know, kind of a mech, I don't know what you call it, mech, recruitish warrior. I mean, there's only like one card that recruits, which is the weapon, but I've been playing that as well as the Ent version of the Token Druid, which, has been pretty interesting too. So let me bring up this one. Okay, so here's the mech warrior, which is a little bit different than you. I'm trying out like different cards too, which I think are, you know, so you might not have seen some of these cards. If you're literally just looking on Aegis Replay and looking at the good decks, you know, you might not see some of these cards. But okay, so anyway, let's start with my warrior. So a lot of the similar things as you. I have a Dead Man's End here just to play around with, just having, you know, like just more resources towards the end of the game. Lots of card draws and removal, so Acolytes of Pain and, you know, Warpath and Forge of Souls to draw of course, the Wool Cleaver and the Blood Razor in case I need it. And then most of it's just like mech and just high value minions. So I've got the Eternium Rover, I've got the Beryllium Nullifier. I added the Bronze Gatekeeper here just because I felt like there was just like a giant mech gap between Rover and Beryllium. And I really just like would like to buff the Rover sometimes, you know, and everything that's 2 mana and even 3 mana aren't like super great, you know, like the ones that have magnetic on them. So I kind of wanted to try out, you know, Bronze Gatekeeper and just see how it does. It's got taunt too. So it's got multi-function, you know, even standalone, it's decent. I have this Argus in there just because at one point I had so many really nice minions that are upgraded, and I was just like dying, right? Just to tempo decks. So I kind of threw in there just to maybe get it on a Yip, get it on a Rot Face, you know, that sort of thing. But the most fun I have playing this deck, it's, by the way, just got Dr. Boom in it. It's got Yip in it, Rot Face, 2 Bulldozers, which is new, and then the Boom Ship. The most fun I have is playing Boom Ship and the Bulldozers come out and, you know, whatever, you know, Rot Face or Yip. Because the Bulldozers instantly remove huge thing. You know, like, I feel like the Divine Shield is, with the Rush, is, like, incredible. Like, having that go together. And when you can, you know, obviously have that huge play where you get, like, that much value from, you know, 9 mana, then it just becomes, like, an incredible swing turn. Bulldozers coming out with even Woe Cleaver is great. You know, and I generally don't play it for 9 mana, but when it comes out, like, in those different ways, it's, like, you know, great. And obviously Dr. Boom can give it rush too. So yeah, this deck's been really fun. I've probably been, I think I'm like 8-2 with this deck or something like that. So it's been good so far, and it's, like, super fun because it has those huge value plays at the end, which I'm just a sucker for. But have you played anything like this yet, or no?
No, I will definitely play it tomorrow.
Yeah. The Bulldozer, I think the Bulldozer Boomship thing, I feel like is kind of an interesting find.
I like the Bulldozer. I always discovered it after Dr. Boom from like the Omega Assembly and stuff.
Right.
Because it just kills anything and you can magnetize it afterwards. It's just super good.
With a Divine Shield for 9 damage is amazing with Rush. Like, that synergy is amazing. So you can kill giants with it. You can kill, you know, like, you can kill a lot of things that normally would be problematic. So yeah, anyways, give it a try. I think the only thing that I wish I could do more is, like, get a little bit more armor. Like, at one point I had the, you know, the 2/2s that give you armor based on your opponent's minions. But, you know, it'd be kind of nice, especially with Yip and all. But you know, you do have the Rover. The Rover surprisingly gets you a lot of armor if you play it right. And but that's about the only thing. I mean, it's got a lot of tweaking to do, but there's a lot of variations of this deck. Like, when we were doing the archetype, you know, like our archetype session definition type of thing that we always look at how the clusters are looking. The warrior cluster with all of these, like, mech and recruit and stuff was, like, it was like this big ass cloud of decks, which was really, really interesting to see that how many there actually are. You know, because on the site, you just see, you know, like, recruit, you just see this, like, this archetype, right? You don't actually realize that there can be so many different versions of it sometimes. So the other deck I was playing is the Ent version of Token Druid, because Token Druid is just still super strong. Like, the exact same Token Druid that was good in Wishwood was crushing it, like, in the first, I think, 8 hours of the expansion. So not much had to change, but I decided just to play this one that had, you know, a lot of different things in it, or at least more different things. And so it has all the Ent stuff. So it has Dendrologist, has Landscaping. It's got the Mulch Muncher. I definitely wanted to make sure I tried that one. And I think that's about it, actually, in terms of the new cards. But yeah, I mean, it's super strong. All the elements of Token Druid still there. Like, it's very, very resilient. Not playing the Gloop, which, you know, I think I probably should be playing the Gloop because it's just amazing how crazy good that card is. But this version, I mean, I only lost one time. I played like 10 games with it. I only lost one time. So it's pretty darn good too. Have you played any Token Druid or any Druid at all so far?
Absolutely. Yesterday, because HSReaper.net told me that Token Druid is by far the best deck I should play. And it's basically, I might consider it one of the best decks in the game, at least right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too.
It's like Giggling Inventor really boosted the power level. Mm-hmm. It's basically the old Token Druid plus Giggling Inventor.
Yeah.
You just have, like, way more setups. You have easier, like, board floods. And it's good versus aggro. But again, like before, you beat control if they can't clear your tokens. And, like, decks like Big Spam Mage will still struggle against it, or Shadowwalk Shaman. And
yeah.
It's very good matchup.
It's definitely in the top 5 decks. So, like, right now, I think even today it's doing better. So we'll get to the top 5 decks in here in a second in Metapulse. But yeah, I agree with you, though. I think it's going to be here for a long time. It's like one of those decks that feels already super refined. Like, it doesn't need much more. You know, it's kind of like Cube was going into Witchwood. It was just already really, really good. So, you know, maybe one card, maybe two cards, but that's about it.
One interesting thing is, because you said the Gloop you should probably play. I played it quite a bit, and I didn't like the Gloop so much.
Oh, really?
I ended up cutting it for Naturalize, because you kind of need to, you need to have, like, the removal for big stuff, oftentimes for tempo, because there's a lot of druids that people play, and they, you know, they just ramp out big minions so quickly.
Yeah.
And to get through taunts and stuff. And obviously it helps for fatigue, because on many ships you have to fatigue. And yeah, the Gloop was weird, because people just naturally play around it, because you oftentimes will not have, like, a, you know, the optimal scenario where you just swipe a bunch of tokens. Maybe it has also something to do that Odd Paladin is not very popular. And you know, the aggressive decks that are played right now usually play few threats at a time, or like they just play too quickly. Let's say Zoo. If they go for the Happy Ghoul opener, they do it on turn one. Then group will just not happen. Like, when is it gonna? Because it requires you to have a setup, right, for it to be good. So it was too conditional, I think.
Well, it's conditional, but I mean, I think there's a couple conditions, right? Obviously, you mentioned one, which is a swipe, you know, and it's like a, you know, very aggro deck, like an odd paladin that you're playing against. But also, like, if people throw up large taunts, now you can just crash all your, you know, your stuff into it and just refill your board again, you know, and just reset again with what you had before. So it gives you that scenario, which you didn't have before. And the mirror matchups are a hoot, man. They're hilarious. When you got all the Soul of Force and all the tokens kind of going against each other, it's pretty fun to play. But I think it's still super good. I don't think it's overrated yet. But it sounds like you might think it's overrated.
No. Yeah, I think it's just too conditional that you just don't need it. And Token Druid doesn't have like so many resources. You have like very limited resources and you have to choose your spots. And usually if your board gets uncontested, you just win. You don't really want to like spend 20 mana in a turn. This is what Gloops enables you in some scenarios. So I just feel like it didn't help my game plan. Very similar to like Unstable Evolution in Shadowwalk Shaman, which is a powerful card, but it didn't help my game plan. And this is how I look at
it. No, I think that's a sign of the design too. I think that's good. You know, it's designed so that there's a little catch to it, right? Like you can't like refill and attack with the same turn. You know, it's usually just resetting the board for the next turn, you know, more so. And it's not like Savage War that, you know, all of a sudden makes, you know, whatever your board is super good too. So super interesting design, but great tool though, still for Druids to play around with. Okay, well, why don't we move into talking about the general meta? So we've had 24 hours. What's great, you know, obviously about Aegis Replay, .net, is that, you know, we're you know, one of the only people, if not the only people, that can, outside of Blizzard, to actually be able to show, you know, some type of representation of the meta. And, you know, we've got 24 hours worth of stats at this point. And, you know, I think, you know, I made some of these queries, you know, probably I would say 20 hours in, maybe 18 hours in, just because I had to, you know, kind of prep the I had an article today that I posted to that the Pulse. But you can kind of see the power rankings just by class. And then you can see kind of the class popularities here. And power rankings, Warlocks on top, not that surprising given how powerful Zoo is. I don't know if you got a chance to play with Zoo. I literally tried to play a bunch of stuff yesterday.
I mean, so. I played against Zoo all day, every day.
Yeah.
So that was enough for me. So I didn't want to play Zoo mirrors all day.
Yeah, Zoo is just super good right now. I think all like the new cards that Warlock got really synergize well with Zoo, and you can really, really feel it if you're playing it.
I want to point out that this is very good and very important for game balance. To have a deck like Zoo being very good, I think it's very, very important to keep. So we don't have like this Shadowwalk meta where everyone plays Shadowwalks and Deadman's Hand Warrior and Archbishop Benedictus Two Priest. We don't want such a meta. Like, as niche decks, sure, but not as the meta.
Yeah,
Zoo meta is fine.
Benedictus Priest, so viable in the meta, would just destroy me, man. It'd take forever to play games. But yeah, so looking at the power rankings too, most of it's pretty even out. I mean, really the biggest things to talk about are Warlock and then Priest. Like, huge drop off with Priest at the bottom there. And you know, it's pretty interesting because, you know, I think a lot of folks were talking about Priest, and you know, this is power ranking. This is an actual popularity. If you look at popularity, Priest is actually terrible too. I can understand people not playing Priest because it just seems kind of boring. You know, like I think some of the new tools seem to draw the game out even longer and play that kind of style. But it turns out that even that kind of style, I don't even think it's winning very much. So
I have to add, because just from experience. Mm-hmm. So basically when a new expansion comes out, aggro decks are always the strongest decks because those are the easiest decks to build, easiest decks to refine. And usually the power level is not much lower than the best actual decks in the game. And Priest is by far the hardest deck class to build a good deck. It is so complicated to build like the best combo priest decks or big priest decks or quest priest decks. Like it takes so much time to optimize this list. And 2 days into the new meta, when you don't even know how to tech your priest, this is not surprising at all. But I don't think priest is that bad yet. Like for sure not. Yeah. I just think it's super hard to build.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it's indicative of is like what you said. It's just, well, it's not just hard to build. I think that the decks that people are building are super hard to play too. You know, like that combo priest is not easy to play. I think the ceiling on that deck is super high. Just even watching people play it, I haven't gotten a chance to actually try it, but you know, from what I could see, it's one of the higher ones, at least in terms of combo type of decks. And then the other ones, like you said, I mean, like the other tools that you kind of are able to utilize, I think people just haven't really figured out. Like, I think priests might be in good shape to react to whatever meta ends up, you know, solidifying. And then, because they have the ability to heal like immensely. So if it did turn, if it does turn into a fairly aggressive meta, then priests can tech towards, you know, basically beating that. But if it turns into more of a, you know, like, just say Mechathune's good for whatever reason, I don't think that's good for Priest. I mean, I guess like, they can build their own Mechathune type of deck.
Yeah, but they can also just try to go like a combo or TK route, right? And just kill you with enough fire with like 50 damage or whatever.
Yeah, I guess like Valens, you know, yeah, I guess probably Valens type of thing. But
yeah, Priest can be built in a infinite value way, in a just kill you way,
yeah,
or like an anti-aggro way with dragons and Duskbreakers and stuff. So
yeah.
It really depends on the meta.
Yeah, but definitely the card that I felt like was really interesting when we were doing the review has turned out to be, in fact, yeah, pretty good, or at least in terms of maybe the key thing in Combo Priest, which was the 2-mana, God, what was it called? I can't even remember now. The 0-2.
The comes back.
Yeah, yeah. What is it called? Jeez, I'm like, can't remember now. But it's a 0-2 that basically any spell that you cast on it, like you get back. So, you know, people are topsy turvying, or they're divine spiriting, topsy turvying, and then also vivid nightmaring to create more divine spirit. That's what's cool, is that they're using the card to actually generate more spells.
It's, by the way, it's a 1-mana card. It's test.
Is it 1-mana? Oh, whoops. It's
yeah, test subject.
Oh, test subject. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was 2 for some reason. I don't know why I was thinking that. But yeah, so they've been using it in a very, very interesting way to just generate more divine spirits. And those of you who haven't seen the combo priest, it's like they have one stone tusk board that looks like it's like doesn't belong in the deck. But and everything else seems like, okay, I understand what it is. And then you realize, oh, they're getting like 8 divine spirits and then casting it on that boar. And then, you know, topsy-turvying and vivid nightmaring kind of thing. So it's pretty funny, actually, like watching them do it. Watching all the streamers like run out of time is the funniest thing ever to watch. But anyways, yeah, getting back to the priest, there's a reason why. It's just one of those classes. There's always a class like this in every first day of the expansion where, you know, just doesn't seem to be very interesting things. I think last expansion it was warrior, right? There just wasn't anything that's super cool to try out. And I think priest just happens to be there this time. I mean, look at the popularity. It's like 4%. I mean, that's really low. In Warlock, 26.6% is super high. So, you know, I think that all this stuff will normalize in the next week or so. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. So any of this surprise you? Anything? It's like day one.
As I mentioned, like the Mega Assembly surprised me as
well. I mean, these classes. Like any of these surprise you?
No. Because control decks, as I mentioned, are just so much harder to build. And I think, like, Druid is kind of like combo. It's kind of like hard to build. But the decks are already made from the pre-expansion, right? Like Maligos Druid, Togwoggle Druid, we had these decks. The Mechatune Druid is also very, very similar. It's just like you add a few cards, right?
Well, you add a win condition. That's all you do. You add the 5 cards that give you the win condition.
Like the deck is already there, right? And the core cards of Druid are always the same, all the ramp cards and Nourish and Ultimate Infestation, and then you just change a few cards. So that doesn't really surprise me. Druid is very easy to build as a deck. It's probably hard to optimize it. So it surprised me that like Jackie Chan was playing it, the Mecha Toon Druid, that it is actually viable.
Like, yeah, I don't think Toast, I think Toast was like 100% at one point with it.
You don't expect these type of decks to be actually viable. Yeah. And it's actually so crazy because it works because you can just play the Mecha Toon and then you have the 4-mana card that copies your last played minion. Oh, and then okay. It's Gloop, then you yeah. play a 4-mana Mecha Toon and then it's so easy to kill it off yourself.
Oh, it's, yeah, you could do that. I mean, I
was shocked how, that really caught me off guard because the opponent played Mecha Toon, Innervate, Earthen Scales, and I'm like, okay, yeah. We just lost the game. And then the last card was like the
Gloop.
The Gloop. What is the 4-mana card called? It doesn't matter.
It's whatever Gloop. It's something's choice.
And you can empty your hand so easy because you have like so many cheap removal cards and you draw your deck so fast with Auctioneer that it's actually a viable deck. I hope it's not very super powerful because that's just another Shadowrock Shaman, right? Yeah. Just faster, more consistent. You don't rely on like...
Well, like you said before, I think Zoo keeps that in check. Like Zoo's fast enough to kill that.
I love Zoo. Oh my God, I love Zoo.
Yeah.
It's very powerful though. Like probably, I don't know if it's too powerful yet. Because they gave Zoo basically a 3-mana Serenite Chain Gang. And like if you get Kalesef now at Zoo...
Dude, forget Kalesef. You get, well, we're going about to talk about it, but if you get the Soul Infusion too, it's like super great. So I think Zoo, we'll get there in a second. We're actually literally right after this is we're going to be talking about Zoo. This is kind of what it looks like today. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Like I'm going to be, you know, either posting on Twitter or posting another article, like really showing how things went up and down like every day this week.
So another thing that surprised me is definitely Hunter. Hunter seems to be...
I play zero Hunter. I have no idea how good Hunter is right now in this new expansion.
Same, like no idea, no clue. Like fast Hunter, mid-range Hunter, like new hot recruit Hunter, no clue.
When I looked at the, let me see if I can just bring it up here. Like when we were looking at just the clustering last night, I mean, Hunter just kind of looked a lot of the same. Like there was a lot of similar things all grouped up together. Not as much variety as some of the other classes. So let me see if I can bring that up real quick. It doesn't look too different right now. Like if you guys go to the site HS Replay, you can kind of see how things are clustered. If you ever are curious, you can go here. I'm just bringing up the browser right here. Yeah, you can kind of see how these popular archetypes. I mean, the ones that are at least being played by a lot of people are clustered up and. You know, I wouldn't say that there's a lot of stuff just kind of feels mid-range Hunter. You know, there's varieties, different variances of it. You know, like there's some mech in it, there's some recruit in it, death rattle in it. Obviously, spell Hunter's pretty different. But everything, you know, it's like it's all kind of mid-range play, though. You know, it's not so Hunter's just not very dynamic right now, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it's one of the reasons why I think not. At least I'm not playing it. It's just because it doesn't seem to be anything that's super different about it. But yeah, definitely, check that out. There's a lot of interesting things to look at on that Discover page if you're ever curious how things are clustered up. But talking about the top five decks now, actually going back to here again, let me bring that up. Where is that? Here we go. Okay, now we can start talking about some of these I think decks we've been trying to hold off on, like Zulok. And Millwood Druid is the one that's on top right now, 60%. I think it's changed a little bit in the last 6 hours, so I think we might see some differences. Paladin's up here now too, so again, this was done earlier this morning and things changing fast. But Mill Druid, Token Druid, we got even Shaman up here too, Spell Hunter, and then Zulok earlier today. So you mentioned the Mill Druid. It's already pretty refined. I definitely have been seeing a lot of streamers playing it. I played this last expansion. I thought this deck was not viable but not complete meme either. Something in that tier 4 range, that might eventually get up there. But
another thing about this deck is why it is performing so well is I think it plays exactly the same as Maligos Druid, and then you expect like Maligos Druid and like you even see Starfall.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, this must be Maligos Druid, and then you and then you don't, you know, pay attention to your hand size and then you get waggled. But what is very, very annoying is that with the new 7-mana card, you basically have a guaranteed Torgwaggle as a Lina combo.
Yep, that's the biggest thing.
If you play any slow deck, you just lose to that. It's so frustrating. Like, there's no interaction.
I'm actually surprised that they did that. I mean, he's talking about the Florist, the Dead Petal Florist. I mean, it definitely hits one of those cards. Like, these are, like, the only minions outside of Tyrant in this deck. So, I guess Thalanos, too, is in this deck. But you can, you know, you can play those cards, like, easily to have it miss. And then if you get it early, you can just play it early, and it just discounts it to one or whatever. So, like, you're guaranteed to get that Azalina and King Togwaggle combo, where before it was much harder, right, to navigate it. And I'm actually surprised they created the Dead Petal when they... You know, they have the biology project, which actually makes it a little bit more possible too, just with some of the previous discounts that you could get.
But
so
but you had like the Skarkin guys counterplay at least, or you just pay attention to your hand size because they require two hands.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Naturalize, but now there's no counterplay to it.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is play an aggro deck like Zoo and just rush them down.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to pull off too. I mean, I guess there is a little nuance to the actual fatiguing part of it, but you know, it's fun to play. So if there's a deck that's super fun to play right now, you should play this deck. It's definitely very different. It's a different, you know, style of playing Hearthstone, even a different style of playing Mill. It's super different. But you know, from that standpoint, it's great. But I'm just surprised how easy it is to pull off, you know, like and these type of decks are kind of dangerous when they're easy to pull off.
Bring back Dirty Red, please.
Yeah, exactly, right. So there's the Token Druid that we talked about earlier. This is pretty much exactly old Token Druid with Giggling in it. And so pretty good. It's definitely still good. Even Shaman was surprising. Like I didn't actually realize Even Shaman kind of snuck in there. You know, still good. You know, a deck that's just full of a bunch of good solid cards still works. And they have, you know, another, I guess, two new cards here. The Thunder, what was that? Thunder, I can't read that. Thunderhead. The Thunderhead, you know, that helps you put down like three minions on the board. So maybe you can like, you know, Sea Giant the next turn, or even if you need to fight off like Odd Paladin, those extra tokens can fight them all because they have Rush.
I actually faced like a Maligos OTK Shaman in the last game of my stream today, and he played two Thunderheads, and I'm like, man, this is such a powerful board control card. You might want to play this even in Shadowwalk Shaman. With any Overload card, it just helps you control the board. Like even if you go like Thunderhead plus Lightning Storm or something, it helps you clear up the board. It just seems like a very, very... I think underrated card as well.
I think I think it's a pretty underrated card now that I've kind of seen it in action some. And it's just good even if you don't remove anything. Even if you get like three cards on the board, I mean that's great too. Especially with this deck particularly. So I mean this deck pretty much just chips away at you and eventually, you know, does a little bit of a, you know, big whack at the end there, you know, with Alakir or something like that. But so I think it fits really, really well. The Arcanode, what is it? Arcane Dynamo, I think is what it's called. Arcane Dynamo. It's pretty interesting too. I haven't had experience with it, so I don't really know what kind of cards you can hit, but you know, I'm thinking if you can, it hits any spells that are 5 mana or above. So I'm thinking, you know, if you hit like a Bloodlust or if you hit any Smage cards, you know, like it's probably pretty good for you. So these cards seem to fit pretty well in this, and just shows you that Even Shaman's still a super strong base, even with this new expansion. Then we got Spell Hunter here, which, you know, I think Spell Hunter is probably still the most consistent Hunter deck, even with just all the talk of Recruit and Death Rattle we've seen, you know, in recent weeks and months. Spell Hunter seems to always just be lurking like right in that tier two, you know, mostly tier two range, bottom of tier two. And now it's gotten, you know, another card that helps him draw secrets. So makes the lesser spellstone even more consistent than it used to be. Yeah, what do you think of Spellhunter? Like, when's the last time you played Spellhunter, Gara?
Right before the expansion, because
oh, really? Aegis Reaper, okay.
Aegis Reaper told me to play it. It, and I also played a lot of Even Shaman because Aegis Reaper told me to play it, and it was pretty good.
Nice.
I had like insane win rates, except with the Spellhunter. It was like the only miss from Aegis Reaper since I started doing that.
Okay.
I'm surprised by how accurate it is. The only really miss was Spellhunter, just because I should have played Even Shaman from like rank 5 to rank 2.
Yeah.
Which I did, and I had insane win rate. And then from rank 2 to 1, I should switch to Spellhunter. And I did, and it just didn't work. Just because people can play around all the secrets so easily. Like,
it's
supposed to counter Odd Paladin with like explosive traps and stuff, but they just don't attack, and then they go level up, and then they blow you out. It's just, it doesn't work. Like,
well, they know how to play around it. That's the biggest thing, right? So it's, I think it's only tougher that like that. But if, you know, if they're, for whatever reason, they're playing like it's a death rattle, you know, Hunter, sometimes you can still surprise them and burn them down. There's not like a ton of heal right now, you know, outside of Priest.
I think it punishes these unrefined decks as well, like these greedy decks, you know?
Yeah, like, well, that too.
You just curve out into the Spellstone, and then if they don't have an answer.
I still think just generally your burn is decent. I mean, there is heal across the board, but I wouldn't say it's at its high right now. You know, like at least some of these decks that people are trying. And, you know, especially the aggro decks. I mean, obviously they don't have any heal on them. But, you know, this deck seems to just have enough burn to kill you, even with having, you know, healing options. So, you know, it's still right on the edge, I think. You know, and I don't think you can improve it too much more. I think this is about as good as it gets. Like, there's not many spells that you can add that are going to, you know, continue this archetype. But, you know, we'll see if
it continues. I think it will fall off because I think it will lose to the aggro decks. Like, it is supposed to counter the aggro decks, but I think the new Zoo is just so powerful that I don't think that Spellhunter beats it. And then what do you really beat? It's like a deck that beats Warrior just because of Rexxar. It can beat all the greedy decks, but it also counters the aggro decks. But I don't think it counters the aggro decks anymore, at least in theory.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically supposed to kind of like outlast the aggro decks, right? And now moving on to this new Zoo lock, I mean, it's pretty hard to outlast the Solarium. You know, now that they have the Solarium, which gives them, you know, another free, I mean, like another turn of draws, and just play all everything that you draw essentially. You know, it just gives Zoolock even more ammo on top of the ability of just like improving just the gameplay it was already built on, which is, you know, just having these solid minions on the board, fight for board, and then just, you know, continue chipping away at you. You mentioned it earlier, right? Kel'Seth hitting something, that Soul Infusion is like +2/+2 on something in your deck. And if it hits, you know, on your, Serenite Chain Gang or the Doubling Imp, man, you're golden. Like, it's over basically. So yeah, talk about this Zoo deck a little bit more as to why it's so much better.
This is already like an outdated list, and the expansion just came out yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
The deck got already improved, I think, 3 or 4 times, and now you don't play the Life Drinkers anymore. Some people don't play the Doom Guards. I think that's a mistake, but the deck gets more and more refined. Some people play Leeroy. Like, if you buff the Leeroy, you just have like this crazy burst out of nowhere. But yeah, it's just like you said, you have now with the Imp a 3-mana Serenite Chain Gang, and it has great synergy with the buff spell. Like, if you hit the Imp, it's insane. If you hit the Chain Gang, it's insane. If you hit Kel'Seth now on 2, you have like an even crazier way to Hyrule. Like, you don't even have to wait for Serenites. You can do it already like 1 turn earlier through the Imps. And your like overall board refill is crazy powerful. Like, you can just hold back resources just because the Imps give you like so many resources. And like, if you just hit the Serenite or the Imp with the spell, like, you can just play very few resources to just have a very, very threatening board. And that makes it so powerful against control decks, you know, that want to just clear your board because you need so many board clears.
I mean, I even played on a Voidwalker, and like, I even had Soul Infusion hit a Voidwalker, and it's good. It's like, that's not even bad, and that's one of the worst things that can happen to you. Maybe a Kobold Librarian would be worse, but you can't really go wrong with that card. It's so easy just to hit a minion with that. Like, There's barely any spells in this deck. It's like literally Soulfire and nothing else. So you're going to be hitting something of value.
And Zul was already played before the expansion.
Yeah.
And with this expansion, just got buffed. And another very random fun fact is like they got the best legendary spell, arguably, at least right now, with the Solarium. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if you compare the Solarium to the Mage Luna Pocket, like how can you compare those two cards? Like Luna Pocket is so slow, it gets hard countered by like aggressive decks or like slow, fast play. And then Solarium is just, it's so insane. Like it's like another Kellos of Hyrule card, right? If you top deck it, you're like, bam, just play it and just flood whatever you draw. It's so strong.
But you get, And even if you don't, for whatever reason, play it, like, you know, I don't know, people play Doomguard. People play Doomguard and Soulfire because you're going to discard anyway. So it's like, it's totally synergistic with the deck. And something that somebody's asking, so if you can't see the fine text down here, basically these decks are based on rank 4 to legend, kind of always get rid of just the rank floors now, so these are basically the best decks from that, from yesterday into like, you know, maybe the morning today. So again, like Gar was saying, there's already been, you know, like modifications to this already, even in the short time, and we're going to be seeing like a different list. We'll probably do this list again tomorrow, and it's going to look completely different.
That I find really, really interesting, people are playing the new one drop that damages you by 5 and gives you 5 armor.
Really?
Because then you can heal yourself easier, and like you had a lot of overheal in that deck.
Oh, right, yeah,
because armor is better. It's actually so interesting. It's so cool. Like this Zul will be insane. I think Zul is not going anywhere for the next 3 months. Mm-hmm. That's my prediction. Like, I can't see Zul like getting crushed by like, you know, some.
Well, you know why they have that one spell that damages you, right, and gives you armor instead. Like we came up with a new name for one of the archetypes. I ended up suggesting the name Pain Warlock, so we ended up using it. Pain Warlock is the one where you damage yourself, so that, because there's cards in, you know, like cards that you're using that actually benefit from you damaging yourself, so that includes the card that it gets +1 right every time it gets damaged. So what's that called? It's like a 1/5 right that gets buffed, like the battle cries like get buffed, like but that card, obviously the
crystallizer.
Yeah, the crystal. Yeah, crystallizer.
That's exactly. The armor guy, the crystallizer.
Hooked Reaver, obviously too. So there, it's really interesting. You know, Warlock has even has a Mechathune deck that people have been trying to run too. So there's I think right now Warlock seems to be decent, well rounded in terms of like having super good options in terms of just winning outright and even just like fun options. So that's kind of one of the reasons why it's so popular right now. Anyways, check that out, guys. One thing I do want to, I don't know if you guys knew or not, is that we've been doing a giveaway for Boomsday Project packs, 100 of them, in fact. And for those of you that might have been opening packs yesterday and didn't get the cards that you wanted, this is the last day. Like the giveaway ends in about 5 hours from now. And if you type in the command giveaway, if you're in Twitch chat right now, you can you can definitely enter it. I'll link this here in chat too, just in case you guys need it. But you can kind of see that, you can just enter. It's free, you know, all those typical ways to enter a giveaway, and we'll get you the 100 packs like as soon as tonight. You know, we'll probably send you a code so that you can get them right away. And we were doing giveaways before where we would try to like gift it to people, but it takes like a week to actually gift somebody something because they want to protect against obviously folks that are trying to, I don't know, steal other people's accounts and do that sort of thing. So we figured out, you know, at least a decent way to try to get folks the giveaway or at least the packs sooner. So yeah, take part, guys. We'll probably do the drawing either later tonight or early tomorrow morning, and then we'll announce the winner. And somebody's going to be lucky enough to get 100 packs. How many packs did you buy yesterday, Gar? We didn't even start off with this.
I haven't bought any packs. I pre-ordered on all 3 servers. So that's like 80, and then spent all my gold, which is like another 200 packs or something.
Oh, wow. You get 20,000 gold? Oh, my God. I usually...
I play on 3 servers. So yeah.
Oh, you mean together? Or you mean 20 each? Yeah. Okay.
No. So yeah, it's like
nice
enough. But I would probably buy more just because I have to. I just got to play so few new decks, so I didn't get a chance. Like when you get into the niche decks like Priest, where you have to craft a ton of cards, probably another reason why so few people are playing Priest. If you want to play like the new big Priest or whatever, it's so expensive. And because it was not meta, you have to craft all these old legendaries as well.
Right.
And this is why nobody's playing it, I think.
Yeah.
The low popularity. Like you don't have the cards and then you look what you need, like, oh, come on, screw it. Yeah, a lot of new packs. And I really enjoy the free legendaries. So I got like on all three servers combined, the 9 legendaries and 3 of them is golden. So if you get lucky, you get like a meta card. Mm-hmm. I really wanted Dr. Booming golden. Unfortunately,
Me too. I think Dr. Boom was one of the last ones that I got. And Dr. Boom was probably the only legendary that I felt this expansion, I just really, really wanted to play on day one. So it was kind of brutal, like waiting for it.
One card I'm kind of dying to play is Subject 9. I got him in
really?
Golden.
Really? Okay.
It's like, it feels like, man, it has so much potential. Like, it is a good card.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
Like, either in Mage and with like Kirin Tor Mages and stuff, and like play Arcanologists and Kirin Tor Mages, like in a controlled space. I wouldn't play it like too aggressive, but just something, because on paper, it's such a good card. Like 5 mana for draw 5 cards.
Yeah, and those of you wondering what Subject 9 is, it's the card that like you draw 5 secrets but they're not played, right? Like you just get to draw 5 secrets.
5 cards. It's like a 5-mana ultimate infestation. It's so good. Like in terms of value, it's so good. Like
even better if it played it though. Remember those cards that actually play the secrets?
Like, it's like 5-mana mysterious challenger.
Yeah, basically. Christmas tree for 6 mana. It's an and you get a 6/6 body. Like compare that, man. That those were the days, right? So I guess the next thing to talk about here is basically surprises and disappointments. Like we definitely mentioned a few surprises. I think that I put down just a few. I mean, I talked about Dozer at Bulldozer. Soul Infusion, obviously a huge one. And we already talked about Eternium Rover, so we've talked about 3 of mine at least. Anything that you might think is that you're surprised about or disappointed? Like anything completely overrated in your mind?
Disappointed is actually, I think people are just so good or became so good at predicting like power levels of cards and how the work in the meta and whatnot.
Don't tell Trump that, dude.
We're not going to talk about that. What was it? What was the biggest meme? The 5-star, like the 0-star defile? Yeah, 0-star bot.
Yeah.
I like that one the most.
Man.
That was great. Disappointed in the Druid got like probably the arguably strongest cards. It's debatable yet, but the Druid is so strong for so long, like since the beginning of time, since Alpha, Druid is like arguably like top 2 or 3 classes in the game. The Druid got like such powerful cards once again. And now that you can like toggle, this is like a disappointment, but not disappointment in terms of, oh, like this card, I thought it was better, but in disappointment in terms of like, how do I give Druid again, like such powerful cards? And now you cannot interact with it, similar to the like, Mali Wiggle.
How crazy is it that Taunt Druid's been benched? Like, and you know what I mean? Even Malagus to a degree has been benched. And it's like, you know, like nobody's using Twig anymore, or I don't think so.
You don't have to. I still face Twig, crazy. But you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like bro, you don't have to play it.
Tier 2 decks that are being benched. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was similar when like Cube Lock was so powerful, and what was it, Control Lock, that you didn't play Zoo. Like Zoo came
later, yeah.
Life after the nerfs, right? Just because it was never really bad. It was just that Control Lock and Cube Lock were so much better. Why would you play Zoo, right?
Well,
and
then I think there was an innovation, right? Like the whole healing thing was definitely an innovation.
Yeah, but why would you do it, right? Why would you innovate that when Cube Lock and Control Lock are so powerful, like before the nerfs? There was no.
Well, there's always a reason to innovate. So that's a mentality that I think, you know, most people take, and that's why most people are just net deckers, right? Like the people that actually innovate are the ones that, you know, keep staying ahead and keep really pushing the meta. Because if people don't innovate, then it just stays stagnant and nothing happens. So we need people that do that.
The juicy Psycho Melon is also so strong, and you don't see it that much.
I haven't seen that yet. Like, Like, I haven't seen a single person play it yet. Yeah, like
I saw it in Talk Waggle just because it draws you the full combo.
Oh, it's just, okay.
It's so dumb. It draws you Ultimate Infestation. No, not a mini. It draws you like Azalina and Talk Waggle. That's like the big deal. You have this guaranteed, and it draws you the Resurrect guy, like the Reduced guy. It's dumb.
Yeah, the Florist.
There's the Florist.
Yeah, the Florist is 7 mana, right? So
yeah.
I thought Azalina was 7 mana too, though.
Yeah. But you still guarantee, like if you draw two things, then you basically can already set it up guaranteed on one of them. But you don't even have to play it. Like, the list is apparently like so stacked that you don't even have the room. It's kind of like similar with the board clears and Warlock. You have so many good board clears that you cut freaking Joffrey because you have no room. It's very similar. Druid has so much good card draw that you don't play this juicy cycle. But you just have enough. You don't need more.
I mean, it's surprisingly not that hard, you know. Like once you actually are used to playing the deck, you know, used to the plays and used to things to look for, it's not that hard. So that's the part that kind of a bummer, because you would think that this type of deck would be along the lines of a priest, you know, the priest combo right now. You know, it takes a lot of skill to kind of pull it off, and when you do pull it off, you pull it off with style. You know, it's like really, really cool. But, you know, when things like that start to get a little bit easier, that's the tough part. And the Mechathune, we didn't even talk about Mechathune. Mechathune's deck is solid. Like, it's fairly consistent, too. Like, being able to draw through your deck. It's not super consistent.
And also play all cards.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was weird to just play all cards.
Yeah, I mean, people are doing it without Hemet. I didn't think it would be it would be possible to do an Azalina King Toggle without a Hemet, like pre this expansion.
So fast as well.
Yeah, so it's really amazing.
Oh, the biggest surprise for me is like I faced it today a little bit. Like when I woke up, I faced 3 Temple Mages in a row. But besides that nobody's playing like the new Temple. I think that was like most hyped up aggro deck with the unexpected results. I've not faced unexpected results a single time yet.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. I haven't Temple either. Mage.
I think this is
dude,
just.
I tried playing Temple Mage early yesterday. It was so bad for me. Like I could not do anything to anybody. I don't know. Like I've definitely seen some people win recently, but for some reason yesterday I was like 0-5 or 0-6. I was like, screw this. I'm not playing this anymore.
I got so not thrown all 3 games that I got absolutely utter destroyed. Like they emptied their hand turn 4.
Really? Okay. See, that never happened to me. Like, I never.
Yeah,
had that
I know.
It's like they have like 5 health minions and shit on the board. And I have to like Cinderstorm into crap like that. You know, like it's like that's not happening. I'm not doing any damage to this guy. So yeah, I think I just had bad luck because, you know, most of the time, like the trends kind of stick. They're consistent. And one of the trends is that Temple Mage is consistently good on the first day of the expansion. So it could have been just me. I mean, if I look at HS Replay right now, what does it say? Like, Temple Mage. I don't know if it shows up. Let me see. Maybe top rank 5 or something. Let me see. Temple Mage. Yeah, Temple Mage isn't even... Temple Mage is tier 3, 49%. So maybe it's better at Legend? You think it's better? Let me see.
I think it's just overall a very, very powerful deck. It's just that nobody plays it yet.
It's 50.31% right now.
Maybe we need Apex Void to make like the optimal list, which will definitely happen.
Yeah, well, Apex Void, I'm sure will do something crazy and make it super good.
It has like all the tools, right? It has all the cards, just assemble it. And another surprising thing, which was like caught me off guard, how powerful it was, is like the Bright Nuzzle Crawler, the rogue 4 mana Deathrattle that gives you poisons plus rush. How crazy that is with Sonya. Wow. Like I played Big Spell Mage.
Wow.
I had Alana, like a full board, and then he played this plus Sonya and just cleared my board. And it was like, what the hell?
That's crazy, man.
Because you get it back and it has poisons and rush, right? So you can just keep it's like the best board clear in the game. You can clear everything. You could clear a Hadronox board. Because you're charging in, right? It's crazy how powerful that is.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But nobody really thinks about it. Like it's so insane.
Yeah, barely even talked about Rogue. Rogue's actually really good right now. I think that straight odd rogue is like really good pressure deck, you know, kinda like Zoo is, right? On a lot of these control decks. And then on top of that, you have these interesting variations that are, you know, I think just in the beginning levels of being figured out, combo wise, right? With Cube and the Death Rattle. I think Death Rattle Rogue will eventually be something.
I faced three Pogo Hopper rogues.
Pogo Hopper too. Yep.
And he got the Pogo Hopper to a 15-15 one game.
That's pretty impressive, so man. Hard. That's crazy. Now I was watching Tice play it earlier, and it's another one of those decks you got to really, really get used to, like, seeing the plays, you know, because they're not very obvious if you haven't played it. But that's so cool. You know, it's like, I mean, they're all kind of like tempo decks with, you know, potential big plays in them. You know, the Pogo thing is, it's a little bit like playing Edwins, you know, like, but you just have multiple Edwins. But for the most part, they have this, you know, it's a very typical tempo rogue. It still has a lot of the elements that all the other rogues, at least the last expansion rogues had. You know, people still playing Faldori Strider, you know, like it's definitely aspects of that are the same. But I think there's a lot of tools right now in Rogue, just people haven't completely figured out yet. I saw some pickpocket rogues even in there somewhere, so some people are trying that out right now too. So Kingsbane, we've been talking about Kingsbane, right? So
That as well. The craziest thing I've seen so far since, like, what happened this expansion is, like, it's on Reddit front page. It's like someone went academic espionage, also prep espionage, and then top deck Jaina.
So oh, geez, that's crazy, man.
That's just me. That's so funny. That's like, what the hell? That's
those,
like, stronger
dreams, man. Those are dreams.
There's like, can't do concede, please.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
That's like the whole, what other class cards would be amazingly broken in another class? You know, that type of question.
Another surprising thing is that the power level of the legendary spells, I think they really finally learned how bad DKs are for the game, for the health of the game, because DKs are so much more powerful than any other card in the game that they will always define the meta, right? Like, you will always play Gul'dan in Warlock, and like even in Zoo, just because it's so much more powerful than any other card, you will just, a lot of games come down to, oh, I drew this decay and now you need your decay, else you lose the game. That, and then we had the legendary weapons, and they're very similar. You draw the legendary weapon, I play it, like Skull of the Minari. You don't have a weapon removal, you will probably lose the game. Most likely lose the game. And that the legendary spells, in terms of power level, are much weaker than the other legendary decays or hero cards or legendary weapons. I think they have also, like, a lot of skill cap to them, and they have, like, downsides, and very interesting, right? Like, the power level is much, much weaker, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the DKs, I feel like the DKs, the reason they did the DKs was just that they wanted to make a very strong step forward for control. You know, like, every one of those DKs are control winning conditions. You know, like, even the ones that aren't played, they're all control winning conditions for the most part. And so I think that's why they kind of put that step forward. You know, in retrospect, you know, I think that the game's kind of balanced itself out, that they don't really need it so much. I don't know. I think Mage would be in trouble if they didn't have, you know, Jaina. Without Jaina, but, like, what is late game Mage? It's nothing. Like, they would have to make, you know, I mean, they'd have to make some kind of, like, high value minion at the end. I still think it has a place.
But if you compare, like, legendary weapons
to, legendary weapons is like, they definitely didn't want this to impact games, you know, as much. The weapons were more of a tool. I felt like they were just super crazy, crazy good tools. But
I think they felt like, okay, there's weapon removal in the game, so we can still make it super powerful. But it was still bad, because if you don't have the weapon removal, these cards are just so powerful that you just lose the game.
But there's only, like, two of them, like, that are used. I mean, it's not...
No, the Hunter one is game-winning. Skull of the Minari is game-winning.
The Hunter one is huge, yeah.
The Rogue one is... just, you can build an entire deck around it. Of course, it's game-winning. What else do we have? Like, the Paladin one was, like, an even Paladin, like, one of the most important cards. The Warrior one is, like, also insane. Obviously insane.
Yeah, but they're not.
They're
like,
up there. They're insane. Tweak, obviously. No, almost all of them are just game winning good.
Yeah, there are definitely, I would say, two or three that are deck defining. I think the other ones are just...
The power level is what I'm talking about.
Power level, okay. Power level, yeah. I think we're in agreement there. That power level's super, super high.
Like, then with the spells, they really went down with it, though.
Yeah.
No, they don't just win you the game.
The rogue card, what's cool about spell, especially in terms of the rogue, is that you can prep it. You know, so you can do some crazy things with prep. The card that I like really like I saw like so many people using and using well was just the what's the spell that you double your death rattles or whatever, you know, like whatever you cast.
Yeah, the rogue 5 mana spell.
Yeah, exactly. That was a super good one when you cast it for 2. It's crazy. It's
vile.
Yeah. I had somebody put a Cairn down and just cast that on it like twice, and I was just like, "Oh, that sucked." That just like was basically Alana on me. So
I actually saw that on the new dragon that gives you 7/7 dragon, the mechanic whelp.
Yeah, dude, that card is. I was gonna mention this. Like, I totally forgot, but I was gonna mention that's such a good card to get when you're playing warrior and you have Dr. Boom. Like, if you get that from Omega, it's really, really good because you can just crash and it dies, and then your 7 comes out and you immediately attack with it. You know, it's like feels like a recruit hunter type of play. So that's actually a really fun card, but I think it's only good when it has rush. It's not very good otherwise. Yeah. Okay. Well, one last question I had for you. Myra's Unstable Element. So I'm kind of on the fence about this card because I don't like every time I wanted to use the card, I felt like I didn't feel like it was the right time to use it. You know, like, it's either too early, and then like I felt like sometimes I waited too late, you know, like because I did. You have this whole sense, you know, like this part of you, or at least part of me, that doesn't want to waste any cards. You know, like I don't want to just burn the cards. You know, it's kind of like the tracking thing. It's like I don't want to just like get rid of these cards. So my question to you is that: A, is Myra's Unstable Element, you know, I guess still super good in your mind? And B, like when is the right moment to use it?
Like, in what kind of deck did you even play it? Like, Otrok?
No. I was playing it in, like, different stuff. I mean, I played a couple games in Otrok. And then I also played it, I even played it in just, like, a combo type of Rogue. Like, I saw Killen playing some kind of double score cube thing, so I wanted to try it. I think Leeroy is the way to play it now. Like, people play Leeroy with this kind of cube Rogue thing. And so I was kind of trying to use it in that just so I could draw maybe some combo pieces. But again, like, I felt like I was in danger of burning cards, you know, that would be super important to me. So when's the right time to play it? That's my question to you, because I'm not sure exactly what kind of deck to throw this into.
I think the problem with this, you want to play this in a super hyper aggressive deck to just close out games, just, you know, refill your hand. The problem is that if you play a 5-mana spell, you have an insane amount of tempo loss. And usually these aggressive decks rely on tempo to close out games. And then this is just like too much of a tempo loss. So I think people are not playing this card correctly yet or in the correct decks. I think you really have to go like Sinister Strike, Cold Blood, you know, 1-mana charge minions, like these type of decks.
Just like and sprint, just go like, basically. Yeah.
And or maybe even together with preparation. Because prep plus this is like very cheap for 2-mana, because then you don't have so much of a tempo loss. You can still play like a Thug or something.
Right.
But I can imagine like a super hyper aggressive deck, and then you have this card. You will just draw damage. Like every single card you will have in your hand will be damage, and then just go face.
Yeah, but just have it measured then, out pretty.
And accurate, then it comes down to, is that type of deck even good? Because no, seriously, like Zoo even. Out of all decks, play so much healing. Like, what kind of decks can you beat now with just full face? Like the old school face hunter playstyle. That's why nobody plays Barco Hunter. Like, all the DKs give you a lot of armor. The new Dr. Boom. All the warrior decks have like so much armor gain, like Barco Warrior.
Yeah.
Warriors. Zoo. Aggro decks have, out of all decks, have insane amount of healing. Druid has like so much armor gain. Dude, I got out armored by Maligos Druid with Barco Warrior, and I make so much armor, and they still make more armor. How is that possible? I was thinking, like, I have literally tank up hero power, and they make more armor than me. So I think this type of playstyle just doesn't work in the game anymore, just because of all the healing and all the.
Okay, so you don't think it is good at this point? I mean, you can use it for Megathune if you want to do some kind of Megathune thing, but outside of that, I'm definitely found myself confused as to like where to play.
But in Mage works though. Like, Mage does this burn playstyle.
Yeah.
But it's, you have these super threatening minions at the same time, and you have crazy tempo, right? Mm-hmm. Like Sorcerer, Mana.
I mean, Ibrook's pretty fast, dude. I mean, you can. I mean, you're putting minions on the board that like actually scale. So, and for the most part, you're going face a lot. It could work there, just as a, you know. But you'd have to have it measured out. You'd have to like probably commit to face super early, and then, you know, like have just enough damage to kill the guy, right? So
It's a weird comparison, but I kind of like to compare it to Luna's Pocket, like. I think it's a good card, but a 7 mana card do nothing is like pretty much unplayable. Like it's so hard to get a 7 mana do nothing card out. Like
exactly.
It's basically a 5 mana do nothing. Yes, you draw cards, but you're playing like a tempo deck or an aggressive deck. Like you can't afford to spend 5 mana to just draw cards. And then people will just play different against you because they know they will win fatigue, right? They could just kill your board and they will win. Like they can use every single resource to just kill your board.
Yeah.
Because Otrok is still played in a board-centric way. Like you win through minions on the board, not through face damage. You close out the game with Leroy and Cobloods, but your main damage comes from the board. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's still too early to tell, right? It's like the expansion came out.
It was just more of like I was sitting there, man, I feel like this card's a good card and I'm pretty sure most of the community was saying it's a good card too, but I don't know what to do with this card because it doesn't seem...
Every single legendary spell seems very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest no-brainer is the Warlock one. The Warlock is like easily, like you don't have to think about it. It's just good.
It's just good. But all the other ones are so complicated. Like I can't even wait to see the first people playing the Priest legendary spell. Because it is good.
Which one is that? I forget.
That summons a copy of every single minion in your deck. A 1/1 copy.
The cloning thing, right? Zerg's cloning thing. Yeah. That's true.
All the crazy things you can do with that. You can just OTK someone with one smite or like two smites. Mind Blast. You can literally just OTK someone, but like nobody plays these decks yet. It's like there's only so many. It's not high in the priority list to build these type of decks. You know, like when you compare, like I played basically today the whole day and I got to play like 2 or 3 decks.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Time.
Yeah, it takes a week. I mean, we don't want it to be solved in one day, man. That is the last thing we want. We want it to take weeks and weeks and weeks.
I wonder how many people are like, man, the first deck I'm going to play is OTK legendary priest spell, OTK priest.
Well,
like that's
people were
that's
trying
my number one priority deck.
It wasn't the legendary spell, but people were trying combo priest a lot yesterday, and you know, definitely didn't catch on given we saw the popularity was 4% for priest,
which is crazy, right? Yeah. Maybe it's because the deck is expensive.
It's too hard. It's just super hard. Like people a lot of people play Hearthstone just mind dead, you know, like they just brain dead, they just kind of just play cards on curve, you know, that's how they play. Like
if a big streamer plays zoo, oh then the ladder is full.
yep
I can do that too.
That's the influence, man. That's totally the influence people have. Okay, well anyways, why don't we talk about you know, I guess maybe get to some Q&A. If you guys have any questions, type them out in Twitch chat, and we'll definitely be sure to read a few of them
out.
In the meantime, I want to kind of give a shout out to our patrons that support our show. They, if you are interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/valuetown, and you can make a pledge today. But these folks have been supporting our show. Some of these people, like for a long time, have been supporting the show. So definitely want to always spend a little bit of time giving a shout out to them. So Mike T, our legendary producer, Bryce L, David C, or Dave C, Dan S, Grant A, Chris B, Edo Lee D, Gary D, Alex G, Jake C, Antichrist, and GoTrix 2, just to name a few. Thanks so much, guys, for supporting us, and you know, if you guys are interested in even just like following us, maybe this is the first time you're watching Value Town and wondering why we talk about HSReplay.net so much. You know, Value Town is actually an HSReplay.net show now. So you can follow HSReplay at HSReplayNet. And we're trying to post like stats like just like every day, like once or twice. So you know, if you follow the channel, you'll definitely start seeing that in your feed, and you know, maybe something cool that you know, if you'd like to discuss, you know, anything pertaining to stats, be a good place to get that content right now. Okay, let's see, any questions we got here? Nobody's asking questions. Come on, guys. Surely you got, okay, thoughts on Odd Shaman. Oh my God, I haven't even thought about Odd Shaman. Like, what is Odd Shaman? Let me see.
So many people asked me today about Elemental Midrange Shaman, if I've played that. No, I have not played that.
Man, the times I've played it, it's never been good, and I haven't seen that much improvement to it, you know, just in what they've added. So it's like one of those things that like it seems like it's good on paper and it's just like super curved stone, but then you realize that they just don't have very much dynamic to it, and you know, if you miss curve, you're just dead. Like, there's no way to get back on board type of thing.
I'm so happy right now that Zoo is so good. Like, because Shadowwalk Shaman got also so buffed. And no more face than you, like Shadowwalk Shaman. Yeah. New expansion comes out. And can you imagine now facing like Shadowwalk Shaman and freaking Maligus Druid? Like, all the same decks.
I beat Shadowwalk, I think, twice yesterday with Zoo. So it definitely does feel good. But getting back to the original question, Odd Shaman,
yeah.
I actually have no idea what Odd Shaman would be right now. Like, you're missing huge.
The Odd Shaman before the expansion, it was like just so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're missing it's like really good shaman. Cards. Like, control shaman? Like what? Like Lightning
like just,
Storms?
Like and, weird. Yeah, yeah, it's just a weird control win condition. You play like random big threats. You can't even play the Hagata. You can play Shadowwalk, but with value, not for TK, because you have no Grumble.
Yeah.
It's just a really weird deck.
Yeah. Okay, so Jay Slammy said he's going to post one in the Champion V Discord. So I'll check that out definitely later. Prime Mole HS. Has anyone got an idea of what to do with the legendary Hunter spell? That's the one that you play the death die. Rattle things, right?
And they attack random die. Things, yeah.
Yeah, then they die. I mean, generally has. I thought about generally it would either be death rattle or poison, like one or the others. So, you know, death rattle obviously it'll trigger it if you have some kind of great, you know, high value death rattle. So, you know, anything like Azalina or not Azalina, Katharina, or anything like that. You know, you could kill it. It sucks to lose the body though. You know, so you'd have to actually remove something and not die, right? And I guess you could, yeah, right. Yeah, no. Actually, if it dies, it doesn't kill like just, the death rattle.
The thing is, you don't have too many great death rattles right now.
Yeah,
like I think it will become better eventually. You know, with the next expansions and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe we just don't have all the tools yet. But I can definitely see people just, you know, it's another deck that is super hard to build. You know how long it took that before we got Egg Hunter? It almost took like the entire 3 months. We didn't play Egg Hunter till like the last month.
Yeah, I mean
of the. Last expansion.
It also, you know, like it also requires the meta to be in a certain state too, for you know something like the Egg Hunter to have been able to, you know, kind of have success. And if it was super fast, Egg Hunter would never have had success. You know, like it's because you know Shudderwog was having some success, at, you know, at these events and
yeah, but people still played like Zoo and Odd Paladin and Odd Rogue and whatnot, and still. It just took so much time to like have like this list, you know, that is can still outcreate all the other greedy decks and have a chance to beat aggro.
Yeah.
I think it just using the legendary spells for Hunter. Like, we don't have good death rattle minions. I'm pretty sure there's some niche deck, you know, like a super refined, optimized version where it's not bad. But
what? Odd?
No, for the spell, legendary Hunter spell.
Oh, for the legendary spell. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah. To be honest, like it's not a bad spell. It's just again, it's kind of expensive. You know, like you have to have a big play from it. Otherwise, it's especially as a hunter. You have to have big plays as hunter. So if you have inconsistency in that, then that card's not going to be played at all.
And like you said, such decks are much better if the meta is slower. And right now, Zoo is all over the place. And right now, it's like your biggest problem is just survive turn one against Happy Ghouls.
Right, right.
And a hunter is usually not very good against Happy Ghoul.
Let's see. We got another question here. M. Wadsit. What's the best new deck and why is it Poco Hopper Rogue? is that the best new deck? Because I mean, the thing about Poco Hopper Rogue is that there really isn't anything different except for the Poco Hopper. Like I was talking to my colleague about that, and it was just like, you know, Poco Hopper Rogue is like the same. It's like all these other rogues, except for it has Poco Hopper in it, literally.
Absolutely not, dude. I disagree, 100%.
Really? Like the ones because that we were looking at.
Because he plays X. It plays Axe, it plays Deathrattles, it plays Zonya, it plays Valyra.
Oh, you're talking about a different one then. Yeah, like
there's like a refined lot of versions, yeah, man. Like legend versions. I'm legend player. You know?
there's a lot of Pogo, and rogues running around. So.
Like you literally have no idea what you're facing. You face Diamol plus Cobra turn one, and then suddenly they play Pogo Hoppers, and then copy the Pogo Hoppers, then they play the Deathrattle weapon, and then suddenly they have like these poisonous Deathrattles that clear your board.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they have X, and suddenly they have Valyra, and then they have infinite value, and you have no freaking clue what's happening. This is a very new rogue experience.
That weapon is so good, man. That's a crazy good card. Might be the best card. It actually might be the best card in Rogue right now. It's that weapon, in my opinion.
The stuff you can do with Valyra in this type of deck is...
Yeah.
It's crazy because you can just play the Deathrattle weapon and then re-equip the Deathrattle weapon with itself and then proc a Deathrattle.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
And people just go like double like Fungalmancer. Like you never played Valyra in like a minion based deck. You always played it like in Kingsbane Rogue or like in Crest Rogue, but not in a deck that focuses on board control and doing cube stuff. Like it's literally cube rogue. We were talking about this when we did the card review. People are playing cube rogue now.
Yeah. I mean, it's legit. I mean, when you have things that can trigger death rattles, cube is all of a sudden viable, like super viable, in many different ways too. It doesn't even have to be a charge or rush minion. It could even just like a regular minion. You can still cube and instantly trigger it, and you're basically getting an immense value for, you know, play dead is like one mana, right? So this thing is like a second swing of a three, you know, of a weapon, which is crazy, crazy good. So
you mentioned earlier, the spell, right? If you cube something, you get already two things of it. But if you use the 5-mana spell, you get four things of it.
Right? Yeah.
And then if you have Valyra, you can just cube it. You can do the spell twice.
I know.
Then you have like infinite things. The only thing that stops you is like the 7 board space thing.
That's true. Okay, so maybe take one or two more here. We got Randwin. Do you think Mechathune decks will see play in tournaments to counter slow decks?
Okay, answer that. So first of all, the only remotely viable Mechathune deck I've seen so far is the Mechathune Druid, right?
Yeah.
So the Mechathune Warlock seemed too slow, bad. What other Mechathune decks do we have?
I mean, there was like a priest one. I mean, I think we sent out a stat yesterday. It was like, let me see. Let me just look at the tweets again. Like we tweeted out like, where is it? Here we go. We got top Mechathune activators. So we had Naturalize 64, almost 64%. Cataclysms 28%. Shadow or Death 1.1%. Starfall 0.8%. And then Shield Slams 0.7%. So I guess some warriors are trying to do it too.
So I don't think I like it because I think there's stronger anti-fatigue decks. I think Shadowhawk Shaman is faster. Shadowhawk Shaman might actually be one of the slowest anti-control or anti-fatigue decks now, which blows my mind. But the Togwaggle Druid just seems so much more consistent. So let's assume Mechathune Druid is the best version of Mechathune. And Togwaggle is just better because Mechathune Druid you can counter with Skulking Geist and you need the Naturalize on your own Mechathune. But people also play like the 4-mana guy that after you played your Mecha Toon, you played a 4-mana guy. But how do you kill your 4-mana guy after Skulking Geist? I guess you can Wrath Moonfire, something like that.
No, you can't swipe.
You
can Starfall, right? That's exactly what Starfall's for.
Or Starfall, yeah, exactly. That's
exactly what it's for, but, yeah.
But I think, like, if that plays against Togwaggle, you always have to think about how do the matchups work, like the anti-fatigue mirrors. So if Togwaggle plays against that, I think Togwaggle is just faster. Not sure, because both decks are extremely fast. Maybe it might be like a Clan Fiesta, but Togwaggle, like, just gives you, like, more cards or no cards. I don't know. It then comes down to a draw RNG if you drew your Mecha Toon or if your Mecha Toon gets burned or whatever. But maybe you could just copy their Mecha Toon with Azalina and then you do the combo first. Who the hell knows?
I think the format matters too. Because I think that, you know, depending on what format you play, I think Mecha Toon, type of decks are just good to have. Like if it's, you know, the one thing about Shudderwalk I have to say is that, you know, after watching like 3 months of Shudderwalk games, you know, with you pros playing and everything, is that there are different lines to win with Shudderwalk, where with these decks, there are not very many. I mean, maybe Azalina has some like lines we haven't really developed like super well yet, but for the most part, there are no other lines except for, you know, like running out of cards and killing your Mecha Toon, or running out of cards and killing your guy in fatigue. Where, you know, Shudderwalk, we actually had times where there are 3-6-6 on the board or 4-6-6 on the board, and that would win games, right? So, you know, that's one thing I just want to point out, because I think Shudderwalk's better in that regard, just generally as a more versatile type of control deck or a combo deck or whatever you want to call it. But so if you were to play these cards, these kind of decks, it's literally as a sniper. So if the format is going to be more conducive to that.
Okay, short answer, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So
niche pick, niche formats, niche situations. Yeah. Like if you expect greedy meta in a tournament setting, then you will play anti-control decks, and then you will play the best anti-control decks, and Mecha Toon is like a guaranteed win condition. So if it's better than Togwaggle, then you will play that instead. But if Togwaggle is better, then you will probably play Togwaggle.
Yeah. One of them is going to win out, right? One of them is going to be the deck to go to. So we'll have to see what that is. All right, one more question. Let's see. Anything else here?
In the first weeks in the first tournament, I think people will just cannot decide which one is better. So we will, I think, see both versions. Yeah.
So Icotrix, I guess is his name. Icotrix. Are there any Shaman Eureka decks? Something like Malygus OTK.
Yeah, I faced it today. You play Farsight, you play Eureka, you play a bunch of Malygus from hand.
Yeah, crazy.
And then I got Frostshocked for 12.
Wow, that's crazy. Frost shocked for 12.
Not a Moonfire? No, a Frost shocked for 12.
Who knew that it was going to happen? Who knew you could kill like
it was so random
as well with that guy? Wow.
Like, because it plays all these cards from Shadowwalk Shaman, and then you the whole time think you face Shadowwalk Shaman, and then suddenly you get like Frost shocked for 12.
that's an experience. Wow. So it was a viable, probably not, just like
he plus ranked 2. It's not like super,
okay, it's not bad.
Maybe he was just testing, who knows, like the experience. It's still young, everything is still young.
Well, I'm just like talking about just like, past, right? Like past,
like
past
the thing is decks. Compared to Druid, compared to Malygos Druid, I think Malygos Druid, what I like about it, and Togwaggle, they don't have two great anti-aggro tools. I think this is what keeps this is why Zoo is keeping these type of decks in check. But Shaman, if you can play all these like volcanoes, lightning storms and stuff, it might just be like, you know, a worse OTK, but a much better like anti-aggro healing type of deck, which is much better versus aggro. Then I can see these decks being like more popular, you know.
I don't know, man. Spreading Plague's pretty good, dude.
Yeah, but if people play Void Rippers and into Despicable Dreadlord, then you're just very sad.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's true. Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, anyways, guys, I think that's going to be it, unless there's a question. Oh, I guess there's one more. All right, we'll take one more here. Heretic 988. So there's one more expansion that needs to complete the cycle. But what archetypes exist with only Witchwood Classic in Boom's Day card? Just wondering what it looks like after KFT Kobolds and Un'Goro cycle out. Okay, so basically, what decks right now look like they are Witchwood and Doomsday heavy? Which I think none of them are right now, to be honest. Like, it would, you know, it takes actually being put into that situation, I think, to build those type of decks. Right now, we don't have anything. There was nothing in Witchwood that was crazy strong to the point where we built decks around it outside of Shudderwalk. That was, like, literally the only thing, right?
Like, maybe Token Druid played, like, the Whispering Woods. Token Druid played, like,
we don't need the mana,
basic cards and Whispering Woods, yeah.
Well, Branching Path's gone, though. But
yeah,
you could easily replace it with something new.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Again, maybe, yeah, Token Druid, I could see that. Maybe even Taunt Druid. Taunt Druid might be...
Rogue doesn't really care about those old expansions.
Katrina was when... Katrina was Kobolds, wasn't it? I was trying to see if Hunter might be possible too.
Yeah, Rogue plays mostly basic cards and then just added like a new free drop. If you think about Rogue, how dominant it was and how little new cards it played, it's actually insane. It only played the Hedged Thug and
Faldorian, right? Like,
yeah, Faldorian.
Yeah,
but do we still have Faldorian? Which expansion?
No, Faldori, I think, is... Well, is Faldori?
KFT?
No, I thought Faldori was, like, Kobolds, maybe. But Faldori will probably be gone.
Oh, yeah. It's Kobolds.
It's pretty hard to tell. Like, I don't think that... it's possible that Paladin, Odd Paladin, could be around.
Oh, of course, he plays like trash cards, of course. Dude, he was like playing freaking the 7 drop. The...
Oh, man. Well, the first version of Vinecleaver. Vinecleaver is pretty important, dude.
Yeah, but dude, the first versions of Odd Paladin, yes, there were viable lists with just one Vinecleaver, and you would just play other garbage Odd cards and it would work. Like, it worked with like the most random cards, right?
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Deck will be around Harmson.
For sure. Okay, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap up. So good show. Definitely good at least day one. And I can't wait to see what the next week's going to look like. But again, you know, definitely check out hsreplay.net and check out the Twitter feed, because we're just going to keep on putting stuff out for you guys, especially in this first week, to keep on trucking, keep on watching. But Gar, you want to do some shout-outs before we take off?
Shout out to my streamer. I stream every single day, twitch.tv/GarbageShaman. Follow me on Instagram, GarbageShaman. Follow me on Twitter, GarbageShaman.
You're like doing that too fast. People can't even understand what you're saying.
Follow me on YouTube, GarbageShaman. Uploading on YouTube video every single day. Every single day.
Yeah, you take a check of those videos.
Every single week, right after my stream. Mm-hmm. Like today's, dude, my Wednesday is always like, I wake up, I stream, then I stop when it's midnight.
Yeah.
And then like, go to bed. So yeah, shout out to you, Chairman. Great show. I'm super excited. You know, this week is Boomsday, next week the new WoW expansion. So gaming wise, pretty hype right now.
Why do they always do that? Why do they come out with WoW expansions before BlizzCon? Like, I don't understand like why they don't do that at BlizzCon.
There was actually a Diablo announcement today as well.
Oh wow, really?
Dude, You know that they're working on multiple Diablo projects.
Whatever. Okay, never mind.
But imagine there's like a MMO Diablo. What? How crazy would that be?
They already have an MMO.
Would you play?
Why would they make another MMO game?
A Diablo MMO? Would you play it? Come on, of course you would.
I mean, we'd check it. It's kind of hard not to play it, try it. But I don't know, man. I don't know what to feel about that. anything Diablo right now? I feel like I need to be convinced, like reconvinced. Yeah, I can't believe it.
It has
it's
to be
crazy.
Super. Fresh spanking new.
For sure. So I'll round things out. Doing the normal, like, you can find us on audio channels, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, on soundcloud.com/shamanv. If you enjoy the show, leave us a review. It really, really helps in terms of people finding the show when they're looking for a Hearthstone podcast to listen to on the way to work or anything like that. You can find the VODs on youtube.com/hsreplaynet or on still on my channel too, if you're still followed there on ChamanV. One thing that you can notice if you go to hsreplay.net right now is you'll notice Crip stream actually playing down below. So you might want to check out his stream, especially when Gar is not streaming anymore. So you can check that out. I don't think you need help in trying to find his stream, but you can definitely check that out. And thanks everybody for watching. You guys are awesome. So for Gara and myself, Chaman V, I'll see you next week. What is that, dude?